Good Friday afternoon to you. I'm Andy Klein, your host for today's Juno Afternoon. Today we'll be highlighting the Juno Lyric Opera, and we'll be talking to them about their production of Amahl and the Night Visitors. Colette Costa is going to be here to talk about her annual Christmas party. It is not to be missed. We're going to be learning about the Juno Jumpers winter production of How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And we'll also get a preview of Saturday's mini concert at Kindred Post with Dawson Walker, DJ Durego, and musician Jacob Picard. That's all coming up with Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, tons of fun, and more. Today, increasing clouds, highs around 33, and tonight, mostly cloudy. Right now, here's National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Federal Emergency Management Agency is placing new mobile homes on Pine Ridge in South Dakota following spring storms and flooding. This week, FEMA is opening the doors on one of the first mobile homes. Charles Michael Ray has more.
In the first weeks of May, a blizzard dumped snow on Pine Ridge. Rains that followed washed out roads, and then strong winds tore the roofs off houses. The Federal Emergency Management Agency says about 350 homes were damaged in the storms. To date, they've ordered about 100 mobile homes to replace those that were too far gone to repair. Tribal officials say the disaster assistance is only a small dent in the long-term housing shortage on Pine Ridge. But they say FEMA help is a huge boost to those who lost homes in the spring storms.
So what it means to these families is that they're going to be moving into a much more comfortable, livable environment.
Delbert Brewer is coordinating disaster response for the Oglala Sioux Tribe.
Through the winter, you know, they'll be nice and warm because they're better insulated and fully repaired. You know, roof, siding, insulation, flooring, all that stuff to make them what we call livable, comfortable, livable environment.
Tribal officials tie the effort to restore lost homes with the ongoing effort to reduce teen suicide. Officials say students who don't have to stress over basic needs like housing are less likely to take their own lives. I'm Charles Michael Ray in Rapid City, South Dakota.
A Chilkat robe that was for sale on eBay has returned to Southeast Alaska. The robe traveled from Texas, where it was almost sold to the highest bidder. Instead, Sea Alaska Heritage Institute welcomed it home recently. KTOO's Elizabeth Jenkins has more.
A crowd packed the Red Cedar Clan house at the Walter Soboleff Building downtown. Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian gathered together. The ceremony began with two songs of mourning, one eagle, the other raven. The Chilkat robe was brought out in a cardboard FedEx box and unfurled to reveal a black and yellow design.
It's a blanket made out of mountain goat wool and cedar bark. And it takes about a year to make.
SHI President Rosita Whirl says the Klan crest could be a thunderbird or a hawk, but the organization isn't sure. They were able to purchase the robe from the eBay seller at the base price. Blankets like these can fetch upwards of $30,000. SHI paid over $14,000. When the seller was informed about the item's significance, Whirl said he worked with SHI to make sure it was returned. She hadn't seen the Chilkat blanket until this moment.
You know, I mean, I wish I had, because when I first saw it, I was just so overcome that I could barely, you know, make the opening remarks.
George Blucher, the seller of the blanket, couldn't be reached for comment. But in a statement, he said he purchased it at a flea market in Illinois. SHI believes it could have been a funerary object due to the fraying at the ends. The ceremony closed with dancing and a joyous song. Clan leader David Katzik called the robe an amazing technology. But unlike your tablet or iPhone, he said this kind isn't isolating. It's known as A'u.
And it could be misrepresented when people are saying our ancestors came home. When we're saying that, we're talking about that technology that generates a very intimate way of thinking about family, about each other.
In the future, weavers and artists will be invited to study the blanket at SHI. In Juneau, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support is provided by Shoshone Bannock Tribal Farms, proud producer of free-range, sustainable buffalo jerky. Holiday delivery of original, peppered, and teriyaki buffalo jerky available on orders placed by December 15th. More information at sbtribalfarms.com. Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation is accepting artwork and reservations for the Alaska Native Art Auction, taking place February 18, 2016 in Anchorage, Alaska. Over 400 business leaders and executives attend this annual event. Proceeds benefit Kiwanis News programming. Learn more at knba.org.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
And welcome back to a Juneau afternoon here in Juneau, KTOO. I'm Andy Klein, your host for today, and with me in the studio right now is some of the members of Juneau Lyric Opera, including Lena Simmons, Kathleen Wayne, and Byron McGilvery, and they are here to talk about what they just told me is a non-traditional version of A Mall in the Night Visitors. So, Kathleen, you said, you were the one who said, yeah, I wouldn't call it traditional.
I wouldn't call it traditional.
Tell me what,
there's a few things that we've adjusted or I added as a stage director that won't be the traditional performance.
So tell me what people would expect from the traditional performance. What
well,
sort of the,
they would
the
expect
standard?
The story of a mall who is a boy with a disability in the Middle East during the time of Christ's birth. And he and his mother are very poor, and all of a sudden a knock comes on the door, middle of the night, and it's the three kings on their way to find the infant Jesus. And so the traditional story is that a miracle happens while the kings are visiting. The boy becomes healed and wants to give his crutch to the Christ child in person. And so there are some things that are non-traditional in there. It's the traditional story of the three kings is one is African person with dark skin. We don't have that, but we have substituted for a raven. We have a raven now in our show.
Wow.
And so there's a line that says there's a kings at the door and one of them is black. Now we say there's three kings at the door and one of them has a black bird.
Oh, all right. There you go. Okay.
And we also have added the character of a cherub. There's so many references in the story about Amal, you know, just is always in trouble, always telling stories, just can't seem to function in the real world. Well, I wanted to give Amal some reasons why he's not functioning or seeming to function in the real world. It's because he sees an invisible spirit or cherub. So that's the non-traditional part there. The cherub brings the three kings to Amal's house. I mean, why else would three kings just knock on Amal's door? And he kind of interacts with one of the crazy kings, and things happen with the cherub that help the story move along and make it more approachable for children.
Oh, that's also a kind of an interesting thing that you have to be aware of in this production, maybe versus other productions that you might do. Well, Byron, tell me a few of the challenges that come about with doing the music.
Music is very complicated. He wrote this in 1951, and in fact, it was late. By the time it was finished, only a few days before the broadcast, the radio broadcast, it was written for...
Oh, I didn't realize it was written...
It was written for television.
Oh,
not
radio, I didn't realize
but written
that.
For television broadcast. Hmm. And so he had a longtime companion, Samuel Barber, the composer, and Barber had to come in and help him finish up the orchestration. But it is challenging for the singers because very often when their entrances come in, it's not where the instruments leave off. So it is challenging for the singers, but the singers have done quite well. And you'll find the music in some ways a great deal like Wagner in this sense, that when the character of, let's say, Amal is doing something, pardon me, you hear a certain little motif. And... Uh, And a lot of that is, you find that throughout the piece.
Okay, so there's, they have little themes, little,
little,
little
music
miniature
themes.
Little music themes.
Like Star Wars.
Peter
you know,
and the Wolfie,
you know
a little sort of that kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, and it changes meters all the time. I mean, you'll be 3/4 and the next is 6/8 and the next is 12/8 and you're back to 2/4 and so it changes meters.
Now, why did that happen? Was he trying to make allusion to some of Middle Eastern musical influences, or what was
he talked about the fact that in Italy where he grew up, of course, Santa Claus didn't come. He said perhaps he was so busy with the American children. So any gifts were delivered.
We monopolized Santa Claus in those days.
That the gifts were delivered by the three wise men. And he said that he and his younger brother would try to stay up, but they would go to sleep. But he remembered the eerie and weird sounds of the kings and the crunch of the camel's hooves in the snow. And so you hear Eastern sounds in there.
Mm.
And we're adding, not adding to that, but we're really bringing that out. We have two fine old boys that really are doing, making that Middle Eastern sound that you hear.
But now, and where are you performing this?
McPheeters Hall.
At McPheeters Hall. So are there challenges with either amplification or that sort of thing?
No,
not
at all.
Right?
It's a small hall, small theater, and it's just perfect for this very intimate little show.
And how many instruments are in the?
Only three.
Only three. Okay. And what are they consist of?
The two oboes, and then we have Luke Weld, who is playing the piano.
Excellent pianist.
Now that is a. That's a weird mix, right?
I mean,
a trio and two oboists and the piano.
Let's have a tuba, bassoon, and string bass, right?
Right, right.
But it works because you have to understand that the oboes are the color.
Yeah.
They add color.
Mm-hmm.
They play very exposed lines, but there are other times when they are highlighting certain things in the pieces with the voices. So it's not as weird as it sounds.
I mean, it just sounds fascinating.
And
a little weird.
Speaking of color, we have Bill Conroe that has designed our lighting, and it is gorgeous. We had help from Perseverance in building and painting the set, and it's just incredible. If you go to see nothing, to see just the light and the scenery and the action, and it couldn't hear the music, it would still be worth it because it's just so gorgeous.
But
the music on top, it's like even the producing staff, we sit in the back up on the highest part of the risers. We forget cue lines because we're just so in awe of the beauty of everything that's going on in the show.
Well, that's very cool. And is the set itself, is it a... trying to be realistic,
yes.
Or is it more
yeah.
of a flight of
yeah.
fancy
no.
type of? It's trying to give you an actual place of this home.
Right. Now, and something I want to emphasize is that this is a children's opera that has all of the layers of meaning and that underlayers of meaning that adults will relate to. But I want to emphasize really that this is a very children friendly. Production.
And lots of children.
A lot of children in it.
What size cast does it take to put
24.
On this?
24.
Wow. That's a lot of people. Is the backstage area big enough to...
Not really.
Yeah, Kathleen's been extraordinarily creative in that. But and their time, there's a space of time when all of them are on the stage at the same
time.
Wow.
Okay. And, exciting, yeah. Lena, tell us a little bit of the nuts and bolts, when it is, and how people can get tickets and things like that.
Well, you can get tickets, of course, at the usual places, Hearthside Books, and go to the website, JunoOpera.org, or show up at the door. But, you know, McPheeters is a small hall, and there's not 400 or 500 seats, so you should get tickets early.
Yeah, dress rehearsal, we had
about
80 people
we were full.
That's full,
yeah.
For McPheeters.
That was really tight.
For dress rehearsal.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
So we're really looking forward. We know that on late evenings, parents sometimes don't. But although last evening we were finished by 8:30.
Oh, okay, it's good.
Yeah, it's good. We start off the first part. We start at 7, and we've got 6 women who are singing Britain's Ceremony of Carols, which is just a very contemporary setting of ancient texts, which is really very pretty. And that lasts about 20 minutes, and then we'll take a really short intermission, and then we'll start a mall, which is about, 47 minutes, because that's how much time you had in an hour in commercial television back in 1951. And so,
Chesterfield cigarettes being advertised or whatever,
NBC something or another, one of the, back when they all did quality stuff, right? And so.
Live theater, they were doing live.
And this was live.
This was live. And NBC had an opera theater, and it was composed for the NBC Opera Theater.
And it's interesting. There's a rebirth of that now. They're doing live.
They did the Wiz last week.
Interesting to see that happening again, and the excitement that creates. And of course, people in the live theater, you get to feel that with every performance. Hopefully,
right. So we have performances tonight and tomorrow night and Sunday afternoon at 3, and then next weekend as well. And
so 5 altogether or 6 altogether?
6 altogether.
Wow.
The evening performances are at 7.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the Sunday afternoon is at 3.
Okay.
It's been fun.
It has been fun.
And it was really fun to see it all come together last night.
Well, it's fun to have you all in. Thanks so much. Congratulations on the production of it. Break a Leg tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Mall of the Night Visitors playing at McFeeters Hall. Starts tonight at 7 p.m.
Correct.
Begins with this choral arrangement moves into a Mall of the Night Visitors after a brief break. Thanks so much to Juno Lyric Opera.
Thanks for having us.
Find out more information, JLO.org, or what is it?
JunoOpera.org.
JunoOpera.org is where you can find out more information on it. Thanks so much to all three of you.
Bye. Bye.
Classy affair in here, listening to Vince Guaraldi and looking at Colette Costa.
Rich Mahogany.
How you doing, Colette?
Oh, my God. Andy, I'm a wreck. Look at me.
I'm looking at you. You look great.
I'm a wreck. Let's not lie. No.
Are you kidding me?
I'm radiant only because my hair is so greasy.
You're always
it's
easy
shining.
On the eyes. You're easy on the eyes,
yeah,
lady.
Yeah, I'm easy on the pocketbook, too, they
Speaking
tell me.
Speaking of which, Annie Bartholomew also just came in.
Ooh, Annie.
Annie, I got to tell you something. I've been listening to KXL all day. I love what's happening on the air over
you
there.
Do?
Yeah.
Oh.
it's been so much work.
Yes, I
know. But it's 5 months in progress.
Yeah.
And
oh, it's fun.
Got it up
hearing,
moving.
Hearing news at the bottom of the hour. And
wow.
I love to check it out. I love the Steve Brule in there. Love it. Love
you
it all.
Have to have Dr. Steve Brule in there.
Nice. I might have to start listening
more
again.
Brule.
Well, we brought Annie
you're
in
so bad.
Because Annie did a brief story on what we're going to talk about with you. So
Mom,
should we
huh?
just roll the story and
yeah.
then we'll come out and...
And then we don't have to talk much about it.
No, we don't have to talk much about it then.
So much easier. It's a great... You did a great job, despite
right.
everything I said that was
well,
awful.
Here's Annie Bartholomew with Annie. Is there a lead into the story that you need, or is it just play by itself? Or
I forgot the lead.
There's
a buried
lead.
I wasn't bleeding, so...
Oh, I remember it. While some are practicing for Christmas pageants and dance recitals, others are preparing for a holiday party of a different kind. Annie Bartholomew... Has
in the
more,
near future, Santa Claus can no longer afford to stay at the North Pole. And with climate change, it's not really that cold anymore. He's outsourced his workshop to Pluto, and his only hope to save Christmas lies with the USS Underdrive, which is sailing through the galaxy on a rescue mission. If this sounds like a plot fit for a movie house, that's because it is. This Saturday, Colette Costa's infamous take on traditional holiday fare returns to the Gold Town. Her sixth annual Christmas Bazaar extravaganza is taking on a Star Trek theme, with Captain Costa at the helm.
We have all kind of the usual suspects, our dancing girls, our dancing ladies, our dancing ukulele people, our dancing jugglers, and some live music. Playboy Spaceman, or Bridget and George will be here, Kari and Jason, and many, many, many others.
The idea was born out of her love for the old-time television variety shows and a desire to bring her own to Juno.
Donnie and Marie always had variety shows at Christmas, and they're awesome, and they had a bunch of dumb stuff, and then they had some dancing, and it was all completely nonsensical and unrelated, and someone was always knocking on the door like, well, I wonder who that could be, and it was Bing Crosby or something ridiculous.
But the show isn't all holiday-centered. Since they're visiting the planets, some of the acts will take on a cosmic focus, including an encounter with the inhabitants of Venus.
I will say, because it's a planet theme, there may be a couple Uranus jokes, but it's nothing dirty. I mean, it's as dirty as Uranus can be. And how dirty can that really be? I mean, it's way out there. Most people can't even see Uranus from where they're sitting. So, not a big deal.
Like last year, the two Saturday performances are expected to sell out and get increasingly loose as the night progresses.
I like to stick to the things that are important to me at Christmas. Presents, cookies, and a fat man in a red suit giving me stuff.
Costa says everyone gets presents and...
BYOC. Bring your own cookies. What?
Tickets to Costa's sixth annual Christmas Bazaar extravaganza can be purchased at the Gold Town Nickelodeon website or at their box office. In Juno, I'm Annie Bartholomew.
Nice work, Annie. That is fun.
I don't know how you got that much. We talked for 25 minutes, and once you cut out all the swearing and the I don't know how you even got a minute and a half out of that. That's kind of brilliant.
I love the Uranus jokes, though. You know I love those.
Hey,
who's
couldn't stop her.
But who's smelling? I mean, counting. Well, I have to say, we're pretty excited about it, and I just want to make it, I just need to start managing expectations early and often.
Here we go. Let's do it.
All right? This is what we refer to as a well-orchestrated train wreck.
That's what I didn't include.
She lovingly took that part out. But we try really hard to do as little rehearsing as possible. I find that you just practice the good right out of something.
I think it's part of the fun. To me, is the mayhem, the chaos, the craziness, the running in and out. And it's part of what I think they were creating, you know, on those Dean Martin specials and stuff. And part of it was true because those guys were all drunk.
They were probably drunk.
Yeah.
And sometimes you didn't know what was behind that door.
No, you did not.
And then
that
was
a Dean Martin feature, actually. Remember, he would always have someone, some surprise guy behind the door.
Oh,
yeah. Someone, yeah.
Soupy Sales did that for years on the show.
Yeah.
And then the parts of it that were, you know, so slick and rehearsed and well done were just kind of boring, like insert terrible joke here. And,
right.
But I remember this one Donnie and Marie special, and they were doing like a different take on they couldn't remember the 12 Days of Christmas, so they were making it up. And the only remember was the first one was a chicken and a banana tree, and people would come on and act them out, and they're all each equally dumb. But every time they would get to that, they would go, and a chicken and a banana tree. And I think that is probably what started this whole thing.
Is that right? That Donnie
Cause,
Marie.
Because that line, the chicken in a banana tree, will just get stuck in my head. Like
right.
The theme from Sesame Street sometimes for days.
Yeah.
The chicken in a banana tree.
Against the Wind for me, Bob Seger.
Oh, well,
I don't know why.
Silver Bullet Band.
You know, every time I think
awesome.
Of every, you know why it happens? Because I always think of deadlines, and every time I think of deadlines, I go deadlines and commitments. What to leave in? What to leave out? And I hate that song. I don't even like that song. No, I love me some Seger, but I don't like that one.
Bob,
I just don't like the
Bob
Against
Seger's
the Wind.
Cousin was my math teacher in 10th grade.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
All right. Do you know Glenn Frey, too? You got any Glenn Frey connections? Seger and Frey hung out, you
can't
know.
Can't talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because Bob was from Michigan.
Yeah, well, I think Glenn Frey burned a lot of bridges back there.
He burned a lot of something. He burned a lot of nose hairs, too. I mean, what? They didn't call him Frey for nothing. Well, I have to say, our 7 o'clock show is sold out.
It doesn't surprise me a bit.
So you can try to show up at the door. I might be able to squeeze a button there, depending on how big Uranus is. But
or your button.
I'm excited. It's sold out. And I'm trying to not over, you know, I've oversold.
How many shows are there?
The
two?
There's only the two.
7 and 9 or something?
4 and 7.
Oh, 4 and 7.
I really wanted them to do a 9, but they're all moms and,
Yeah.
Kids
right.
are ruining everything.
As they always do.
There's a bunch of them going to be at the 4 o'clock show, too. So people are asking me, like, what's better, the 4 or the 7? You know, the 7 is, like, later and it's looser. And I'm like, you know, I kind of like the 4 o'clock. I kind of like the show with the kids in it better because they're so into it and they're just, they're the kind of goofy I want. And they're, like, yelling. They're heckling me. Nobody heckles the way a kid heckles. You can't say that. You dropped something.
They have that indignation, right? That righteous indignation
so
about having done something wrong.
Last year we had this, like, faux Santa Claus that kept appearing. And every time he'd come on, these kids would be like, you have to go.
You're not Santa.
I'm like, quiet, kid. You're not on Earth anymore.
That's right.
So we're doing a Star Trek theme, mostly because I found this awesome image for the poster I've been wanting to use for years, and it's a space-age Santa thing.
Cool.
And I thought, well, we're going to do that. And then when I was back in Detroit, I found these ridiculous outfits at one of the little hooker stores that look like little kind of – they're like a cross between a skating outfit and a Star Trek uniform. And they were 75% off, so they were like 14 cents each.
Cool.
It's gold.
That's
I
pretty
love
much
it.
Pretty much everything that I do with the Off the Hook Honeys is based on outfits that I found in Detroit.
Yes.
So that's how that whole thing was born.
That's your formula for success.
I got to do a big shout out to Betsy Sims over at Studio A, who's awesome in
every way.
Way except she doesn't eat meat, but whatever. Everyone's got to have a problem.
Everyone's got to have something.
She's gonna be running sound for us. We're doing sound effects this year. We're going kind of nuts. I'm a little afraid technologically wise.
I think that you. You've got, though, I love the idea of George and Bridget being involved. That's going to be so cool.
I don't want to give too much away, but they're going to be representing Mars. They're on Martians.
I was thinking something along those lines, yeah.
And Kari Groven and Jason Caputo are our Mercurians. And strangely enough, the language I speak on Mercury is exceedingly similar to Norwegian.
Norwegian, I was going to guess.
Isn't that crazy?
It's weird.
Did not know that.
Well, I, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have some
Jupiterians
and our Saturnians are going to be, they're going to steal the show
again. Are the Pluturians all ticked off that they're not a planet anymore or what?
Well, they are a dwarf planet.
Okay.
So I don't want to give much more away than that because I don't know how politically correct it is.
No, by the way, check your politics at the door, right? I mean, check your political correctness at the door.
I don't have time to think about the many I'm so
ways
busy,
that you were offending.
I'm so busy, like, trying to be upfront with offending everyone that I accidentally, secondarily, tertiarily, I'm offending so many more people. I can't even keep up with
damage,
it.
Damage, yeah.
It's shrapnel everywhere.
All right, well let's hear again. So the 7 o'clock show is sold out
it's
right
sold
now.
Sold out, yeah.
4 o'clock show happening
tomorrow. It's tomorrow.
Yeah, man.
4 o'clock show. We have some tickets. They're online. You have to go to our website goldtownnick.com and it'll link you over to Brown Paper Tickets and snatch them up while you can. It's family friendly. There's no nudity. There's almost no swearing unless I forget.
Darn it.
We will have presents for everyone. I will not stand by the quality of those presents, but let's face it, the most important thing is you get to rip something open.
Yeah. Some of those presents are stuck underneath the theater seats right now already.
I'm not going to say they are, but I definitely would not reach under my theater seat if I were you.
Don't do it. All right, it's Colette Costa.
Oh,
it's the annual Christmas party.
And you know what? Quick shout out. We have at 11 a.m. tomorrow, we have the kids' movies. The Juno Co-op Preschool is doing kids' movies from 11 a.m. to 1:30. And it's by donation. It's a fundraiser for the co-op.
That's very cool.
And they have a big bake sale all day, and it's super awesome, and you can come and go as you want. And I think it's $10 a kid or something.
Some of those honeys have those kids in the preschool and all of them, right?
So you're not allowed to be a dancing girl with me unless you popped out a baby or four. but swing by in the morning, and I'm not going to say you can leave them there and come back later, but you didn't hear it from me.
Yeah.
And they have some awesome movies lined up for tomorrow.
That's going to be really fun.
Yeah,
all right, but also the big thing, too, happening tomorrow is the Christmas party, the 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Show still available.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets online at
goldtownnick.com.
Thanks, Colette Costa.
You're welcome.
It's going to be
Thank
fun.
Thank you, Andy Klein. Andy Bartholomew.
Thanks so much. And thanks for all the work you're doing at KXLL.
Bang up job.
Love it.
Man.
I was listening to it all day at work today, writing a proposal and listening to that.
So you weren't actually working.
Awesome. No, I was actually working.
Means
good.
The world, Andy.
It was good. It was awesome. Great mix of old, new, amazing stuff. Love it.
Old,
we
new.
Thank
stole
you.
Your model.
And thanks, Colette. So
Welcome.
Much fun talking to you.
My model, by the way.
All right.
Good job, everyone.
Good job. Coming up after these messages, we're going to hear from folks at the Juno Jumpers.
Program support comes from Invisible World, 369 South Franklin Street, celebrating 30 years of silk, cashmere, and alpaca sweaters and gifts. Open 11 to 5, Monday through Saturday. Invisible World ships purchases in-store or online at InvisibleWorld.com.
Support for this station comes from the Treadwell Ice Arena, located at 105 Savico Road in Douglas. Treadwell Ice Arena is open 7 days a week, offering drop-in open skating, hockey, and a variety of special events. We are the proud home of the Crimson Bears hockey team, youth, adult, hockey, and figure skating programs. More information at juno.org/parksrec/ice rink or call 586-0410.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch.
Such a good song, isn't it?
That, oh, yeah.
I wouldn't touch you with a 39-and-a-half-foot pole. I love that.
That's my favorite part. I gotta love that part.
Kelly Olson is here from the Juno Jumpers. Kelly's a student at Thunder Mountain High School. And, Kelly, we're playing Grinch Who Stole Christmas because that's the next presentation you guys are doing, right?
Oh, yeah. That's our winter show that we're about to put on. It's tomorrow at 7 p.m. at Glacier Valley. And for the entry fee, it's just a can of food so we can donate it to the food bank.
Oh, that's an awesome idea.
Oh, yeah.
That's very cool. So a can of food gets you in to go see the Juno Jumpers. So tell me about how you guys, like, figure out how to interpret the story of A Grinch Who Stole Christmas, right?
Because
that's
such
a visual cartoon. So how do you carry the story along in jump rope form?
So I guess it's like if you, like, go back to when you were a child and you're kind of like, oh, like my mom or grandma's like reading me this story and it's so intriguing. So we have someone over to the side reading these parts, and then after she reads the part, the jumpers will come and they'll jump to like a song that goes with it, and they'll have cool little snazzy props that'll go with it and everything.
Props? And outfits and everything?
Well,
or?
Yeah, they kind of got outfits. They
doesn't
like,
it cause get in the way? It's get in the way of the... Yeah, they have
a little
to,
bit.
Yeah, it does. You're not going to lie. Not going to lie. It's a pain.
We do it for the show.
Yeah,
we do it for the crowd.
Do it for the people. Remember the people. Well, that's great that you do. So tell me a little bit, without giving too much away, tell me about some of the costumes or props that you guys have to use for this.
Well,
is there a roast beast?
Yeah, there is a roast beast, kind of, in a way. So we got some cool little, like, they're, like, handmade kind of props that kind of strap around. So, like, It's like, oh, this is a nice little, like, log or something.
Okay,
or,
right.
I don't know. That's a really bad example.
Now, does, what, oh, no, what, isn't that Cindy Lou Who comes out with the, wants the, no, she's got the bulb. She's
got the cup
big,
of water.
Yeah, the cup
know?
Of water. Does someone have to hold a cup of water while jumping rope?
They got it strapped to them. Not like a paper cup of water, so not quite.
And then do the different jumpers actually play roles? Like someone's Cindy Lou Who and someone's the Grinch and someone's all that stuff?
A little bit, yeah. So we have a main Grinch. He's the Grinch for pretty much the whole time.
Okay.
And then Cindy Lou Who pops out like once during her like part in the book. So,
right, right.
Yeah.
And then like the mayor and the all the different Who's in Whoville or?
Yeah.
Or Max the dog? What about Max the dog?
Max the dog. Oh, we do have a prop for Max the dog.
Okay. with his horn.
Oh, yeah. And so the rest of the jumpers are actually the Who's in Whoville. But if you read the story, it's been so long since I read the story, but the mayor is actually not in the story.
Oh, he isn't?
Mm-mm.
Why did I think that? I thought there was a mayor, but I guess not.
Well, it's the movie, you know?
Oh, and is like, there a mayor in the movie?
There's a mayor in the movie.
Oh, that's what I'm getting confused with. Yeah, yeah, okay. And that movie. Forget that movie. Did you like it?
I liked the movie.
You did? It's silly, fun, right?
It was interesting. I
just grew up on that Dr. Seuss and on that Chuck Jones directed that cartoon, and I used to, you know, and Chuck Jones directed all the Bugs Bunny stuff, and it was so, I loved that cartoon so much.
Yeah.
That part where he smiles so big and it wraps around and curls, and poor Max the dog. I felt so sorry for Max.
Yeah. I'm like, you poor dog.
But Max was so happy at the end when he got to ride on the sleigh. You
know? It's a good thing the Grinches aren't gruesome sizes.
That's right. Well, so cool. So tell me a little bit more. It's 7 p.m. How long does it usually go? Or is it just that one performance?
Yeah, we only have that one performance. Okay. So get in while you can.
Yeah, right.
But it's about like a hour, maybe 2 hours. I don't think it goes that long.
Okay,
like an hour to an hour.
Well,
and
I guess
half.
As long as the book, kind of, right? To read and to do this music. So probably in that hour range, I would guess.
Yeah. Somewhere along those lines.
That's awesome. And then are people singing? No, it's
the
just...
The crowd will sing.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. Like, did you have, like, the little, like, the, you know, Lady Gaga microphone or something? No.
I'll just be in the background, like, dropping a beat, you know, singing with the Who's, mixing it up, Who style.
In the middle of, like, wait a minute, do you hear someone dropping a beat? What's going on?
Darn it, Kelly.
Kelly, no, the Who's don't do that. Well, very cool. So, Kelly, thanks so much. Now, how many folks are in the Juno? How many different? So, Juno jumpers, you were telling me is third grade and up. Is that right?
Yeah, third grade and up. So we have 20 people on the team currently.
Oh, cool. All right.
Yeah, and I think it's ages 9 through 17.
Cool.
Might have botched that, but
okay. Where are you in that range?
I'm a senior, so I'm 17.
You're the 17?
Yes.
Or one of the 17?
One of the 17.
Okay. There's a few of them,
There's a few, yeah.
That's cool that you have a range like that. Like, I'm sure that you end up kind of mentoring the younger kids, and that's cool for younger kids to be able to interact with much older kids in a team like that. Because there's not a lot of teams where you have 9-year-olds that get to, you know, kind of be valuable parts of the team that these 17-year-olds are on too, right?
That's what I always loved about jump rope was just because it was more of like, it's a competition / show sport, but it's also like, if you like were like, whoa, that's such a cool trick, you could like go up to anyone and ask them how they did that trick, and they will kindly teach you. They will always like show you how to do it, or like, oh, you should try this next. And it's just like a family.
And it's a collaborative sport too, right? Like, it's a sport people have to really work together.
Oh yeah.
And it's no good to, you know, shove someone out of the way or whatever,
don't do
right?
That.
You know, like
bye.
Yeah, like in basketball, like every now and then if you throw an elbow, maybe that makes a better play, but not in jump rope,
no,
right?
It's just black eyes and a double dutch rope.
I'm not encouraging the kids out there listening, by the way, to throw elbows in basketball.
That.
Unless it's necessary. No, not at all. Don't do it. Okay, well, Kelly, thanks so much. It's awesome. It's the How the Grinch Stole Christmas. That's one of my favorites. I love it. And it's happening tomorrow night, 7 p.m., Glacier Valley. And you can just, you don't have to get tickets. All you have to do is bring a can of food or two cans of food.
Oh, yeah.
However many
cans of food.
One can at a minimum.
Food bank,
okay,
so, yeah.
Okay, and bring some cans of food. It all goes to the food bank. And thanks so much, Kelly Olson from Juno Jumpers and from Thunder Mountain High School.
Cool, thank you.
Really appreciate it. Coming up next, here's Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 11th of December, 2015. It's the birthday of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, born in Kislovodsk, Russia, 1918, thrown into the gulag as a young man for saying that Stalin was not Marxist enough in a letter that he wrote to a friend. Came out with a 7-volume history, The Gulag Archipelago, in 1973, was exiled from Russia, and then in 1993 was allowed to return. It's the birthday of Grace Paley, 1922, New York City, born to Ukrainian immigrants, grew up in New York speaking Russian, Yiddish, and English, author of The Little Disturbances of Man and Enormous Changes at the Last Minute. It's the birthday of Jim Harrison, Grayling, Michigan, 1937. He was a poet who went out hunting with his dog, fell off a cliff, hurt his back, had to stay in bed for months, and then turned to writing fiction as a way to pass the time. The book was Wolf, a False Memoir. Went on to write Legends of the Fall, The Farmer's Daughter, and this year a new novel, The Big Seven. It's the birthday of the writer Thomas McGuane, Wyandotte, Michigan, 1939, author of The Sporting Club and many more novels and books of short stories and 7 books of nonfiction, his most recent novel, Driving on the Rim. Thomas McGuane, who also was Montana's cutting horse champion for 3 years in a row. He and his wife raised cutting horses and Angus cattle on their 2,000-acre ranch in Montana. And it's the birthday of the Egyptian poet Naguib Mahfouz, born Cairo, 1911. Started writing when he was 17, wrote more than 50 novels, but had to work as a civil servant to support himself until he retired. Most famous for his Cairo trilogy, Palace Walk, Palace of Desire, and Sugar Street, won the Nobel Prize in Literature in 1988. Here's a poem for today, a poem by Allen Ginsberg entitled Song. The weight of the world is love under the burden of solitude, under the burden of dissatisfaction. The weight we carry is love. Who can deny? In dreams it touches the body, in thought constructs a miracle, in imagination anguishes till born in human, looks out of the heart burning with purity, for the burden of life is love, but we carry the weight wearily, and so must rest in the arms of love at last, must rest in the arms of love. No rest without love, no sleep without dreams of love, be mad or chill, obsessed with angels or machines. The final wish is love, cannot be bitter, cannot deny, cannot withhold if denied. The weight is too heavy, must give for no return, as thought is given in solitude and all the excellence of its excess. The warm bodies shine together in the darkness. The hand moves to the center of the flesh. The skin trembles in happiness, and the soul comes joyful to the eye. Yes, yes, that's what I wanted. I always wanted. I always wanted to return to the body where I was born. A poem by Allen Ginsberg, Song, from his collected poems, 1947 to 1980, published by HarperCollins and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, now available on iOS devices. Subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Teresa Burgess. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
support comes from Northern Audiology and Hearing Services, providing services for identification, evaluation, and rehabilitation for individuals with hearing difficulties. Located in the Jordan Creek Center. Information at 789-6780.
Welcome back to a Juneau Afternoon in the KTO studios. I'm Andy Klein, your host for today. The weather for today is increasing clouds with highs around 33 degrees. Tonight it's going to be mostly cloudy with a chance of snow and lows around 29. Mostly cloudy, chance of snow showers for tomorrow and highs around 33. Again, mostly cloudy Saturday night. And Sunday, decreasing clouds, highs around 30 with a little bit of wind kicking up at about 15 miles an hour. Sunday night, partly cloudy, lows around 21. And snow likely for Monday and Monday night with lows around 26 degrees Monday night. The Family Caregiver Support Group invites those caring for elderly friends or family members to participate in sharing experiences, thoughts, and feelings with fellow caregivers on Thursday, December 17th from 5 p.m. until 6 p.m. at the Bridge Adult Day Care, Adult Day Center, located at 1803 Glacier Highway. For more information, you can call Sonia Turner at 463-6181. We're going to be coming up with more from a Juneau Afternoon. Here is Bird.
This is Bird. Olympic siblings remain in northeast Montana. At this time of year, these lands lie under windblown snow. But by early summer, the grass is verdant and grassland birds abound. Their sweet songs fill the warm air. Songs such as those of Macoun's longspur, lark bunting, and the willet. Where do these exhilarating singers go in winter? They've all gone south. The sparrow-like Macoun's longspurs migrate to West Texas and northern Mexico, where you might flush a winter flock from a grazed pasture or plowed field. Lark buntings, a stocky sort of sparrow, range in winter over much of northern Mexico and the adjacent U.S. They turn up everywhere, from farm fields to desert cactus. Willets, however, seek out truly different winter habitat. Large sandpipers that breed in prairie wetlands, willets spend the cold months along Pacific coastal shorelines, from Washington State south all the way through Central America. For now, winter reigns over Montana's grasslands. June may seem distant, but hearing the bird songs makes you know it's worth the wait. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby. Lonely days are gone, I'm a going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. When she wrote me a letter, said she couldn't live without me no more. Listen, mister, can't you see I got to get back to my baby once more? Anyway, yeah, give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby sister wrote me a letter. When she wrote me a letter, said she couldn't live without me no more.
Listening to the letter and talking to Christy Nami Erickson here from Kindred Post.
Hello, hello.
Where letters are a part of your life.
It's true.
Letters,
in all ways.
The written letter, individual letters, you make art out of letters.
It's true. Letters are a little bit of my life.
They're
Thank
a
you.
Little bit of your life.
Maybe
so there
I'll just
you go.
Write that on my business card. For that
letters.
Letters.
I specialize in letters.
Yeah. This is very good.
Well, you do so much cool stuff happening over there at Kindred Post. It just has become such a community center, really. I mean, it's just a tiny little space,
mm-hmm,
right? But
mm-hmm.
It's just so much cool stuff happening through there. So
thanks so much for saying that.
Yeah.
That was part of the initial goal when we got started. And, you know, I think definitely over the last year and a half, we've had more and more opportunity to kind of really grow that third arm of our business so that we're not just a letter, like mail letter place, and we're not just a letter like specializing in words or art and things like that, but really a place where you would see all of that come to life.
Yeah.
And that connection that you're looking for would really be there in that space in real life. So I'm stoked about it. Yeah.
I remember talking to Tana Peters, who helped design some of the interior when she, and I remember her talking about these concepts that you had and how you wanted to use the space in these different ways and have it be versatile. And and I was like, I thought it was just like a post office.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, don't they, you know? And she was like, no, this is Christy. She's got all these, she's got ideas, man.
I remember standing on the balcony looking down into that itty-bitty space and her just being like, so knowing you, I imagine you want like a transformer post office.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, if we could do that, that'd be great. You know? And every time we're clearing the table off and moving things around, I think about that, those words, my transformer post office.
Right,
we really do just kind of click, click, click in this space and that space, move a joint and make seating out of tables and all that and turn it into a tiny concert hall, which is super,
so
super
that's
cool.
That's what we're here to talk about. One of those is coming up Saturday, a mini concert.
Yeah. We have a series we call the Tiny Post Office Concert Series. And when we started it, or even now, what we do is we focus on unplugged or very low-tech music or other performances to small audiences, right? It's a tiny post office. You can't fit a lot of people in it. And one of the exciting parts of that for the artist is to really get to be in touch with their audience, to really speak to them between pieces, say, you know, I wrote this when da-da-da, this is what I'm thinking on this piece. This one's a work in progress. They go through it. You know, Ryan Carrillo at the last one was like, he went through half of it, and then he was like, oh, man, I don't remember the words, so I'm not going to do it. You know, but he was like still jamming, and then he's like, all right, I'm going to do it. All right, guys? And everybody's like, yeah. You know, and it's just this, like, kind of banter back and forth.
Yeah.
That's just really dope to see, and you don't see it, you know, at a big concert hall. You don't see it at the bar when people are just kind of drinking, doing their own thing, and the music kind of becomes this ambiance and atmosphere, but it's really about the performances and really about that connection between the audience.
I appreciate that so much because there's, you know, the way you hear music in this town is typically at a bar, which is awesome and fun.
Yeah, for sure.
But it is also
just different.
It's just different. Yeah. But it's if you really are, if you're really, really into a band or really interested in really hearing a band or a performance, sometimes bars can be hard, right? Because really it's about all the socializing. I love getting into just small spaces. I know that when Paradise Cafe was downtown a couple times, Lana and Rev, you know, Deering and Down would play in this little tiny space. And it was all friends, so everyone would just, like, be quiet when they started playing.
Because
it kind of, like, respected and also were really into their music.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, like, in that small space going, well, now this is awesome. This is like a little concert.
Yeah, it's like a little house show.
Right,
but it's in my Kindred Post house. Yeah.
Right.
But it's inviting those people over, and it really is just a cozy environment. And it can either be really social, you know, bring a friend, bring a couple friends, hang out together, hide under a blanket and listen to some music. Or it can be really solo, you know, if you're just not feeling the you're getting a little overstimulated by all of the adventures and opportunities in downtown. It's also a good time just to come and just sit by yourself and listen to the music. You don't have to talk to anyone, and then it's over. And you just got to have kind of this nice evening of live art for you. And we keep them free. There's no cover at the door. It's really just about the art. We ask for donations just to kind of help keep the series going, help to kick it back to the artists. But what we've seen so far is that everybody's really getting a lot out of it, both in terms of audiences, and the audiences generally contribute. And almost every artist I've talked to, you know, I'm upfront because I'm an artist. I believe in getting paid, right?
Yeah.
So I'll say, you know, I don't have a budget, but that's, you know, when we do this donation thing. Every single artist has been like, oh, man, I don't even need to get paid. This sounds awesome.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, which is, it's nice for me to know that they're getting something out of it because I'm not here to rip artists off.
Yeah.
I want it to be a joyful opportunity for both parties. And if it doesn't work, I'm always open to hearing people be like, no.
Right.
And so far people have been.
Yeah. It's really interesting to me how that, how Kindred Post, this actual physical space, has become this extension of your artistic expression.
Yeah, I mean, it's like someone wrote that it was my biggest project to date, or like my latest project, you know? And I was like, oh, that's so interesting to think of it, because it felt like I was turning 180. I was turning in a completely different direction.
Well,
to
it is
this.
A commercial venture.
Right.
I mean, it's a business,
right.
And it's those things. But
right.
then
but the
it's
idea
also
that,
so much more.
Yeah, that I would still be putting in the same values and principles I put into my own artwork, right, about social justice, about empowering voices, about empowering individuals and communities.
And beauty.
Yeah.
And things
then,
like that, right?
And then
like,
doing that organized, you know, yeah. on an organizing level. And now, even though I'm in a for-profit business, I hope that we still stay true to our roots. We stay a community-centered business, that we're really here to promote social good, to promote social gatherings, and to really just be in community with each other.
Now, you're on the front lines of the re-deconstruction happening over there.
Re-deconstruction, yeah.
Just tell me a little bit about what's going on. I mean,
well, they're working on taking apart. First, they took apart Ginocchio Day
Park,
and
away, yeah.
they've taken away some of the stairs there on the side. It is, you know, it was loud first day. I was like, "Whoa, what is going on over there?" You know, just because I was caught off guard. I didn't get the memo, I guess. But what day it was, you know, and so I recognized. All construction is kind of an eyesore. It can
yeah.
be a little bit of a pain, but I'm super excited about what the future holds for that space. It's a prime location. I think city developers and city officials all kind of have their mind on the right prizes to use that space for the things that our community needs. So I'm really excited to see what develops there and welcome that into
yeah.
our neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, tell me about the performers that are going to be performing tomorrow.
For sure. So we've got Dawson Walker, who actually studied comics and is currently, I think, a student teacher with the MAT program, or is an official teacher. Sorry, Dawson, I don't remember your resume. But on his side, he is also a studier of improv. And so him and DJ DeRego, who many people know as a poet, performer, and also an improv person, are going to do this show where they do live drawings. So they've got a big sketch pad, and they're going to draw and do an illustration on the spot while telling an improvised story based on audience participation, kind of feeding them information like
cool.
you see at an improv show. Meanwhile, Jacob Picard, who's just been doing really cool things like with Wish Kanade, he's kind of our main person of our new band that we're starting. He's going to be there playing the guitar and, you know, all the different kind of sound things he's got going on to really kind of add that extra layer, that extra depth to the storytelling happening. I saw it happen at the Wish open mic last month, and my cheeks just hurt. It was so funny. It was just so great. It was very clever, very well executed, something I'd never seen before, ever. And I thought this would just be an amazing concert. It kind of redefines, right, concert also. It's not just, I wanted to also set the stage, quite literally, that we're not just music performances, that we can do poetry, that we can do this weird storytelling improv live drawing thing. And I also thought it would be a great stress relief in December
yeah.
when, you know, it's a really exciting time of year, but it's a very busy time. And for those of us who, you know, like to nest, like some quiet, whatever, it can sometimes kind of frazzle us a bit. And I think I saw this as an opportunity to, if you're going to go out and be with some friends who are back in town or be with some family or enjoy the festivities, you could do it in a way that was just real lighthearted and joyful.
Very cool. All right, well, it's all happening tomorrow at Kindred Post. What time?
6:30 is when we open doors, and 7 o'clock is when the show starts. It's a small space, so we definitely always recommend to people to get there early so that way they can secure the spot.
And just asking for contributions at the door or
yeah,
for the artists?
Yeah, we pass around a hat about midway through the show.
Okay,
but,
cool. Traditional.
We always have the jar out. Yeah, you know me.
Yeah, yeah. And the jar's always out. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yes, contributions
it's
are
true.
Always welcome.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, thanks so much. Christinami Erickson from Kindred Post. Anything else going on there at Kindred Post coming up in the near future we should know about? Or
You know, this month, it's December, so as a post office, we're just really busy with shipping.
Yeah, right.
Folks, go ship now. Now is the time. Don't wait till the last minute.
Off.
I don't want to charge you express, right? So go ship, and we're a gift shop, so we're just really busy. We've got a lot of different sales and specials going on, but this
very
is
cool.
our main community event of the month.
All right, very good. Christy, thanks so much for coming in.
Andy,
appreciate it.
It's such a pleasure to hang
yeah,
with you.
Absolutely. Thanks. Thanks to all my guests that came in today, and thanks for listening to Juno Afternoon Today. Andy Klein, your host for this Friday. Have a great weekend. Snow is on the way.